निर्वास्यतामाशु पुराच्छ निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानम् कहेन मत्रो मजुहाव जिह्मम् दास्या सुतं यद् बलिनैव पुष्टः तस्मिन् प्रतिपा परकृत्य आस्ते निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानः कायेन मत्रोपजुहावजीमम् दास्या सुतं यद् बलिनैव पुष्टः तस्मिन् प्रतिपा परकृत्य आस्ते निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानः कायनम् अत्र पजुहावजीमम् दास्या सूतं यद् बलिनैव पुष्टः तस्मिन् प्रतिपः परकृत्यास्ते निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानः कायेन मत्रोपजुहावजीमम् दास्या सुतं यद् बलिनैव पुष्टः तस्मिन् प्रतिपा परकृत्यास्ते निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानः कायेन मत्रोपजुहावजीमम् दास्या सुतं यद् बलिनैव पुष्टः
तस्मिन् प्रतिपा परकृत्यास्ते
निर्वासितामाशु पुराश्वसानः
Please read the synonyms. Kaha.
Kaha.
Who.
Enam.
Enam.
This.
Atra.
Atra.
Here.
Upajuhava.
Upajuhava. Call for.
Call for.
Jeevam.
Jeevam.
Crooked.
Crooked.
Dasyaha.
Dasyaha.
Of a kept mistress.
Of a kept mistress.
Sutam.
Sutam.
Son.
Son.
Yet.
Whose.
Balina.
Balina.
By whose subsistence.
By whose subsistence?
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Pushtaha. Pushtaha.
Grown-up.
Grown-up.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Pratipaha.
Pratipaha.
Enmity.
Enmity.
Parikritya.
Parakritya.
Enemy's interest.
Enemy's interest.
Aste.
Aste.
Situated.
Situated.
Nirvasyata.
Nirvasyata.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Ashu.
Ashu.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Purad.
Purad.
From the palace.
Swasanaha.
Let him breathe only.
Let him breathe only.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shrapul Parvati.
Jai.
Please repeat the translation. Who asked him?
Who asked
to come here?
To come here.
This son of a kept mistress.
This son of a kept mistress.
He is so crooked.
He is so crooked.
That he spies.
That he spies.
In the interest.
In the interest.
Of the enemy.
Of the enemy.
Against those.
Against those.
On whose support.
On whose support.
He has grown up.
He has grown up.
Toss him out of the palace.
Toss him out of the palace.
Immediately.
Immediately.
And leave him.
And leave him.
With only his breath.
And only his breath.
Please hear the purport. When getting married, the Kshatriya kings would take on several other youthful girls along with the married princess. These girl attendants of the king were known as dasis, or attendant mistresses. By intimate association with the king, the dasis would get sons. Such sons were called dasi putras. They had no claim to a royal position, but they would get maintenance and other facilities just like princes. Vidura was the son of such a Dasi, and he was thus not counted amongst the Kshatriyas. King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate toward his younger Dasi Putra brother, Vidura. And Vidura was a great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher, but unfortunately, he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel, because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhishthira, whom Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhana. And before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good. Let's read text 16 also, because it's very important.
Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Saitta Matyul Banakarna Bane.
Saitta Matyul Banakarna Bane.
Gata Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Gato Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Sa Ittam Atyul Banakarna Bane.
Sa Ittam Atyul Banakarna Bane.
Gata Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Gato Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Swanur Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Maya.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Bratur Puro Marma Sutaditopi.
Sa Ittam Atyul Banakarna Bane.
Sa Ittam Atyul Banakarna Bane.
Gata Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Gato Vyatoya Urumanayana.
Swayam.
Swayam.
He himself. Dhanu Dwari. Go on the door.
Nidhaya.
Keeping.
Maya.
The external nature.
Bratuhu.
Brothers.
Puraha.
From the palace.
Marmasu.
In the core of the heart.
Adidaha.
Being afflicted.
Api.
In spite of.
Saha.
He.
Vidura.
Ittam.
Like this.
Ati Ulbana.
Severely.
Karna.
Ear.
Vane.
By the arrows. Gata Vyataha.
Without being sorry.
Ayad.
Excited.
Uru.
Great.
Manayanaha.
So thinking. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Please repeat the translation. Thus being pierced by arrows,
through his ears,
and afflicted, to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow
on the door,
and quit his brother's palace.
He was not sorry,
for he considered the acts
of the external energy,
to be supreme. Please hear this very important. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27, it is stated, Prakateye kriyamanani gunaye karmani sarvashaha ahamkara vimudhatma kartahum iti manyate. A conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks that he is doing everything by himself.
The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord. And the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the external nature, by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted the great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path towards his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet, he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the palace and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, and instead of being sorry at the strong words of himself, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gata vyataha, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus, he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. Om Ajnana Tirandasya Jnananjanashalaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Kavutare Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Vedati Svapadantitam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tadamanam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitartam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Vajarakrati Gopesha Gopika Nata Radha Nata Namaste Taptanacha Gorake Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishamanu Sukhe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Tapatru Yascha Kripala Siddhu Yare Vacha Patitana Pavadevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srimasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So today we go on with the third canto, first chapter, and we're looking at the 15th and 16th verses. These two verses are very, very important for us. Because in this material world, we are always placed in awkward situations. If you look up the dictionary term and you find the definition of awkwardness, one of the nice definitions of awkwardness is that you are placed in a potentially embarrassing situation. Sometimes awkwardness also refers to a situation where we really don't know what to do. Sometimes when you use the word awkward, it also means that you're not in a state of balance. When something is awkwardly placed, it means it can just fall off any time. So it is no, in Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has never used a single word without deep meaning. And whenever Prabhupada uses a word, our duty is to ponder and to contemplate on it. These word-to-word meanings that Prabhupada has given us are extremely important for us to study Bhagavatam. The real secret of relishing Bhagavatam is actually between the translation and the purport. It's actually the word-to-word meanings. Because in the word-to-word meanings, every word that Prabhupada has broken down has so much for us to contemplate and ponder. And by the time Prabhupada has digested the word-to-word and given it to us as a ripened fruit in the form of his translation, then we find that the word-to-word has assumed so much realization. So as devotees, we should be very clear that whenever we study Bhagavatam, we should not just read in a haphazard fashion. We should very carefully study the word-to-word, because in the word-to-word, many things that we don't understand are actually found. In the translation, in the purport, if you read in its entirety, you find that whatever questions we want to ask are actually all answered there. Very often the reason why we ask a question is because we haven't read the purport deeply enough, or we haven't read the translation deeply enough, or even if we have read it, we have not thought about it deeply. If we think and ponder over translation, purport, word to word, you'll find actually that there is no questions, because all doubts are cleared by Prabhupada in Bhagavatam. In 3.1.15, you find that Duryodhana is insulting and using very strong words against Vidura. And for background, you all know that Vidura was very exalted as a personality. He is considered to be a saint and a pure devotee of the Lord. And he was always the well-wisher of not only the Pandavas, but actually also the Kauravas. He gave very good advice to Dhritarashtra. And even though Dhritarashtra was in so many ways faulty in his perception and in his support of Duryodhana, you find that throughout Bhagavatam and throughout Mahabharata, Vidura never lost hope in advising and counseling his brother. And Vidura was not a diplomat. He was not a politician. When he wanted to advise his brother, he never thought about the consideration of whether this advice would be strategic in such a way that I could continue to live and maintain myself in the palace. Otherwise, Prabhupada uses the word politics in this purport. He says that such is the way of politics and diplomacy in a king's palace, that factually speaking, even someone as faultless as Vidura could be charged for something that he was not guilty of. So Vidura's only mistake was that he was not political, if you can say that. And because he was not political, he had no motive in his heart. Being a pure devotee of the Lord, his only motive was to glorify Krishna. And his other motive was always to serve all the living entities and to bring them towards Krishna. That was what he tried sincerely to do for his brother Dhritarashtra. But even despite doing that, Duryodhana somehow or another could not take Vidura's presence in the court. Why? Because Duryodhana thought that if someday Dhritarashtra does listen to Vidura's counsel, then as the Kauravas, I will never be able to rule this kingdom. If my father so much as changes his mind and decides to follow his brother, then this kingdom is lost. So this was his motive, and that is why he plotted and planned to find a way in which he could get Vidura out of the palace. So when someone has a motive which is not spiritual, then very often that person comes under the external energy of the Lord. Meaning to say, he comes under the stringent laws of the material nature. So while Duryodhana was thinking that he was independent of Krishna, and he was independent to create all these politics and drive Vidura out, he could not understand that a devotee of the Lord is always protected by the internal energy. So therefore, even though it appeared as if Vidura was being insulted by Duryodhana, factually speaking, Vidura did not feel that this was actually Duryodhana's doing. And this is very important. And that is why these two verses are very important. You find here that Duryodhana in 3.1.15 uses very harsh words. He calls Vidura as a son of a kept mistress. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually Vidura's position was much lower than Dhritarashtra and even Pandu, because he was born to a Dasi. He was not born in the mode of a Kshatriya. But of all three, actually, he is frankly considered to be the most exalted. And this is an important point. Bhakti or devotional service is never dependent on material qualification. We do not have to be educated in the material sense for us to become devotees. Neither do very educated people, neither are they kept out of devotional service. In fact, no qualification which is material is needed. But it is worth to note that Duryodhana's harsh words actually were very piercing. And Duryodhana's nature is actually revealed here. When you read 1st Canto, 18th chapter, 48th verse, there Parikshit Maharaj is described very nicely. Tiraskritta Vintralapta, Shakta Shikta Hatapi, Na Asya Tatvarishmunyanti. This verse is very important. In 1848, there we are told that the devotees of the Lord, when they are faced with insulting, embarrassing, or awkward situations, they do only one thing. Na asya tat prati purvati. They do not counteract, neither do they react. That's very important. So this is the mood of a great devotee. And this is shown, 1848 is personified in Vidura. Because Vidura was frankly defamed. He was completely defamed by Duryodhana. Duryodhana made him look very cheap. He was cursed because Duryodhana did not mean anything well for him. He was cursing him that you are useless, you know, you should be thrown out. He was defaming him, he was cursing him, he was causing him disturbance. Duryodhana tried to cause disturbance to Vidura. If someone scolds you in such a manner in front of everyone, it's very easy for us to become disturbed because we are embarrassed. So we are defamed, we are cheated. We are defamed, we are cursed, we are disturbed. Vidura also was neglected by Duryodhana. Neglected in the sense that Duryodhana said, now Vidura should not be under the shelter of the Kauravas. He should be thrown out. So he was neglected. And because of all this, he was actually cheated. Because actually Vidura had no other right except to be the great advisor, because he was a great devotee. And yet Duryodhana was cheating him out of his position. And the final thing that the materialists will always do to devotees is that they will even try to kill them. And here Duryodhana actually hints that you should cane him and you should beat him until he has only his breath left. Almost to the point of being killed. So, Tiraskritta Vipralabdha Shakta Shikta Hata Api. The devotees of the Lord, they tolerate the materialists, even if the materialists try to disturb them, defame them, curse them, neglect them, kill them, and cheat them. All these are things that someone in the mold of Duryodhana would perform. So as devotees, we should be very careful to avoid this behavior. The moment we cause others disturbance, we are in the mold of Arjuna. The moment we try to curse people, sometimes cursing doesn't mean I curse that you become a flower or a plant or something. We don't have to outwardly curse. But if you are not a well-wisher of someone, then what you are doing is you are passively cursing somebody. If you are not a well-wisher, it is as good as cursing someone. So this is important. So we should not disturb others. We should not curse others. We should never cheat. Sometimes as devotees, we should be very careful because cheating propensity is always there. We tell someone something, we do something else. That is cheating. Then the other thing that's very important is, we should not defame. Sometimes we speak about devotees in such a way that is defamatory. And this defamation is very bad because we have no basis for even speaking like that about them. But because purely out of mental speculation and envy, which was the hallmark of Duryodhana, envy, we start defaming people. So in fact, this behavior of Duryodhana is an important lesson for devotees to avoid. Because the tendency to become Duryodhana-like in mentality is very powerful in this material world. As was said before by Vidura, Vidura told Dhritarashtra, you are maintaining offense personified, isn't it? This was the only fault of Vidura, that he spoke the truth. And because the truth was not palatable, nor was it politically strategic, so then Duryodhana turned this around in his favor. And he said, see, this is evidence of the fact that he's actually putting us down because he has a motive. And he's charging, as Prabhupada says in the purport, that actually Vidura is a spy of the Pandavas. Just because one speaks favorably of someone else does not mean that one is being paid by someone else to actually speak up. But this was the mood that Duryodhana was having. And this mood is not good. But the devotees of the Lord, like Vidura, they are so forbearing. Na asyatat pratikulvati. They could tolerate all these things from Duryodhana. That at the end of 3.1.15, if you read the purport, Prabhupada says there that Vidura was in wonderment. He was astonished at this behavior of Duryodhana. He was astonished. He was thinking, amazing, what a behavior he has. So this is the mood of a devotee. He just tolerated, and instead of becoming very upset or angry and, you know, shouting back and cursing back, or using this as a political leverage now to put Duryodhana down, he just decided one thing, that better become silent. And this is the mood of a devotee. By becoming silent when someone disturbs us, cheats us, tries to kill us, tries to curse us, we gain one thing. One, we gain valuable time. You need time to criticize people, isn't it? In trying to think about, when we try to think bad about people, how much time is wasted? These last 29, 25 minutes, if we were speaking about someone else unfavorably, we cannot remember Bhagavatam. But if someone is speaking only about Krishna, or if someone speaks unfavorably and you don't waste time with that, and you walk away from it, that time you can study one shloka from Bhagavatam. And because you are with Bhagavatam, you become purified. You are free. And Krishna, being the internal energy of the Lord, non-different from the Lord, He will give you the strength to forbear. Krishna gives the devotee the strength to tolerate. The devotee never thinks that on my own I'm capable of tolerating. That was not Vidura's mood. Vidura thought, this is amazing how someone can say these things. So he did not want to waste time. In other words, he did not want to overstay his welcome. This is an important point. Vidura's advice to Dhritarashtra in the 13th chapter of the first canto rings in this verse also. Vidura told Dhritarashtra at the end of his life that you are living like a dog in the house. You don't have a palace, you don't own the kingdom, and yet you're sitting there as if you are still the king. You are just like a dog being kept by the owner, and time is overtaking you, right? Atyakraman abhinyataha. It is overtaking you imperceptibly, without you knowing it. And yet you want to waste time. Now, if Vidura was not a pure devotee, he would say something, and when he is faced with that, he would do something else. Very often we preach very nicely, but when it comes to practice, we fall short. Sometimes when someone is in an awkward position, we tell them, oh, don't worry, just chant, chant, everything will be fine. And we are in an awkward position, oh, I can't chant, I'm very disturbed. But Vidura is a pure devotee because whatever he preached to Dhritarashtra, he practiced. He could understand when Duryodhana used harsh words on him that this is the time for me to leave because I am not welcomed. I should not stay in a place where I am not welcomed. This is a very important point. Why to waste time now in the politics and diplomacy? Better I spend time going for yatras. And that was the mood of Vidura. It's important before we move on to the next verse to also understand the mood of Duryodhana. Duryodhana's mood is very, very demonic. And the thing that defines Duryodhana is actually in the purport. Prabhupada writes a very important sentence in the middle of the purport. He says actually that Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher. You see that line in the middle of the purport. That's an important point. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a well-wisher and friend of the Kauravas. That means in his heart of hearts, he knew that Vidura was not a bad person. If you think in your heart of hearts that someone is not good, and based on that misconception you say something, that itself is not good. But that's acceptable, sometimes even understandable. But if you know in your heart that this person is a pure devotee, a well-wisher, and that he's really a friend of you, and yet you have decided to deride him, curse him, disturb him, cheat him, kill him, neglect him, disturb him, then you are first-class demon. Because this proves to us that the real difference between a devotee and a demon is actually in the word motive. That is why dharma projita kaitava atra paramo. The mood of those who are with Bhagavatam, who are with Krishna, is that we reject all motive-ridden paths. The moment we have a material motive, The moment we find that we are coming to Krishna because there is some other hidden motive, then that motive makes our tendencies demonic. Then what will happen is we exhibit qualities of envy, offense, and that is what Duryodhana did. And that is why I think it is in 16th chapter, 4th verse, I think. Dambo darpo abhimanascha krodha parushyam evacha ajnanam abhijatasya partha samvadam asuri. I think it is 16th chapter, 3rd verse or 4th verse. Dambo darpo abhimanascha. These are the qualities that come when Duryodhana behaves this way. So if we know someone is alright, in our hearts of hearts, conscience-wise, we know this person, there's no fault of his, and yet we put them down, we insult them, then definitely this is demonic. Why? Because dambo dambo abhiman. There is pride, there is arrogance, and there is conceit. These three qualities were very prevalent in Duryodhana. Duryodhana was very proud of his own status as Kshatriya. He was very proud that he thought he was the successor to the entire kingdom. And that is why he insulted Vidura in a mirror image. That which you are proud of, you will insult the person along the same lines. How did he insult Duryodhana? How did he insult Vidura? He insulted him by saying that you are a son of a kept mistress. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that he was not of Kshatriya born, of Kshatriya birth. He was Dasiputra. So that same thing which you mirror it, Duryodhana was feeling proud about. I am not the son of a Dasi. I am a son of a true blue Kshatriya princess, and I mean queen and king. So that which we are proud of, that we see in others, and if we see they don't have that which we are proud of, then we are ready to criticize them. So very often you find that you criticize of someone is a mirror image of what you are proud of. And that is a very good way to understand what kind of pride we actually have in our hearts. Supposing I think I know Bhagavatam shlokas. If someone doesn't chant shlokas very well, I'll be very quick to criticize the person. Why? Because the mirror image of that is, I know my Bhagavatam shlokas very well. So I'm always on the lookout for those who don't know the Bhagavatam shlokas very well. So the disease is there. And we see the disease when we criticize others. So in pride, arrogance and conceit of who we think we are, falsely, Duryodhana was caught in a demonic mentality. And on top of that, he was not only arrogant, proud and conceited, but Bhagavatam also tells us based on Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, that verse, because of his pride, he was always angry, krodha. That's why Duryodhana never smiles in Mahabharata. If he ever smiles, it's one of those sinister smiles, you know. But he never ever in Mahabharata ever smiled and laughed with the open-heartedness of a devotee. Never. Always moody, always grouchy, always grumpy, always worried, always strategizing, always political in nature. And this is the reason why Duryodhana was never happy. When we are hankering for that which cannot be obtained, how can we become happy? If it was not in Krishna's arrangement that Duryodhana should become the king, then whatever he did, he was not going to become king. So that desire which cannot be obtained, Bhagavatam tells us, is known as karma. That we should understand. 6th canto, 16th chapter, 34th verse. That desires which cannot be fulfilled and cannot be obtained, Prabhupada writes, that desire is understood to be karma. Very important. So we desire so many things. But that desires that cannot become fulfilled, we should understand that Krishna does not want. If we still persist, then we get caught in karma. Then we get caught in anarthas, unwanted things. And that is why there is no place in the heart for Krishna. This is very important. That's why Duryodhana had no place in his heart for Krishna, because his heart was filled with dambo, darpo, abhimanascha, krodha. He was angry always. And because he was angry, whatever that came out from his mouth was like the knife in the slaughterhouse. You know? It was just cutting. Harsh words. Always harsh words. See the words that he used in Bhagavatam now. So harsh. So painful to hear. Therefore, when we speak harsh words, it is a reflection of the anger within. Sometimes we can make a great pretense that we are very calm and patient because we are devotees, supposed to be sadhu, isn't it? But the moment we speak, immediately we are naked before the public. People immediately know by how we speak what is in our consciousness. So these harsh words should always be avoided. Especially when the harsh words are added to the fact that he knew that Vidura was very well, a well-wisher. This is very dangerous. Therefore, this is a danger that we must avoid. Vidura spoke harsh words to Dhritarashtra. Mind you, both of them spoke harsh words. Duryodhana is speaking harsh words, Vidura spoke harsh words. But Vidura's harsh words to his brother from the platform of love and genuine concern for the well-being of Dhritarashtra. There was no motive in his heart except to serve his brother. And therefore, those words pierced the heart of Dhritarashtra in a wonderful manner, such that he was inspired to actually leave and to leave behind all that he was attached to. When pure devotees squeeze through the pride in our hearts and touch our hearts in that way, they can sometimes be very piercing. It is true. Sometimes they can be very chastising in their words. But because they have no motive in their hearts except to serve the devotee, you find that the living entities who hear such harsh words relish them. They accept them because they understand in the heart that this person is really my well-wisher. Krishna in the heart, as your conscience, will dictate to you that this is a well-wisher. So whatever he's saying is good for me. Whatever she's saying is good for me. But in Duryodhana's case, because he knew very well, as Prabhupada observes, that Vidura was a great soul, and yet he continued to criticize Vidura. So those harsh words really fall in the category of the demoniac nature. They are really parusha. They are really harsh words. That's why I remember my Guru Maharaj always saying that sometimes as devotees, subtly, grossly at least, we have left eating meat, fish, eggs. We left them all because we did not want to commit violence. But subtly, if our pride is still very strong, if our words are still very harsh, then we still continue these subtle tendencies of violence in the form of harsh words that come out from our tongues. So while we stop cutting meat in the slaughterhouses, we're still using our tongue to slaughter devotees based on how we speak. So this is a very important point for us to remember. The behavior of Vidura as contrasted to the behavior of Duryodhana. Now we look at the verse 3.1.16. Because 3.1.16 is a very important verse because it tells us the reaction of a devotee when he's placed in an awkward situation. And this is practical for all of us. Because we'll always be placed in a situation where we really don't know what to do. Or we may be placed in a situation where it's very painful for us. The word that comes out here is the fact that when Vidura heard these words, what happened to him? Bhagavatam tells us when he heard this verse, the word that's being used here, he was pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart. So therefore, Vidura was actually hurt. He was hurt. Actually, sometimes we think that devotees should be supermen or superwomen. That because we are so renounced in the world, if anyone tells us anything, I am detached. I don't feel anything. But actually, that's not true. If that happens, then we become impersonal. If you read the third canto, I think there's a chapter where Hiranyaksha is trying to fight with the Lord, Varaha. It's later in the same third canto. And in that verse, there is a part where Hiranyaksha challenges the Lord to come and fight him in the ocean. He learned Duryodhana's words. Because they are also demons, you know. And Hiranyaksha is using harsh words on Krishna, who comes in the form of the Lord Baal. And Bhagavatam tells us that Prabhupada, if I can remember, Prabhupada describes how the Lord felt. Prabhupada says, when the Lord heard the shaft is like an arrow shaft, you know, the shaft-like, right, arrow-like words that emanated from Hiranyaksha, the Lord felt hurt. Amazing. Krishna felt hurt in the form of Varaha. He was a wild boar, but he felt hurt. And Prabhupada writes beautifully in that purport. He says, "This the fact that the Lord is hurt proves to us that the Lord is not impersonal." Very important point. And the Lord becomes very pleased when he's offered prayers with love and devotion. But he becomes very distressed and dissatisfied when he hears not prayers, or when he hears derision from the demons. So the reason why a pure devotee can feel hurt is because the Lord himself can feel hurt. All feelings that come, all marrows that come into this material world are there only because they are coming from the spiritual world. We cannot have anything which is outside of the Lord. That is a very important point. Just like Brahmaji, you know, when Brahmaji performed that Leela, remember the Leela where he stole the cows and the calves and kept them for a year. And at the end of it, when he realized that he was humble, when he comes before Krishna, 10th canto, 14th chapter, there Brahmaji tells Krishna, you know, that Krishna, would you not excuse a child? Would you not excuse me? Just like a mother excuses the kicks of its unborn child when it is in the abdomen. When the child kicks the mother in the abdomen, the mother doesn't kick back, isn't it? No. The mother doesn't scold the child, hey, stop kicking me. No. The mother accepts it. And then Brahmaji says, in the same way, is there anything outside of your abdomen which is not ultimately controlled by you? So in the same way, there is no rasa, no mellow in this world that is outside of the purview of Krishna. This is very important for us to realize, because as devotees sometimes we think we know the supremacy of Krishna. But actually we don't. Because if we knew the supremacy of Krishna, we'd be broadcasting his glories every day. That's what we'll be doing. That's why from the start of Bhagavatam to the end of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is only stating one point. That we are supposed to broadcast the glories of the Lord, because the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have taken it for granted, but we don't really understand the import or the purport of that. And that is why it's important to understand, even a pure devotee feels hurt. There's nothing wrong in feeling hurt. In fact, it shows that they have feelings just like the Lord has feelings. But what's important is, Vidura was Gatavyataha. If there's any one word that you should take home today, it is the words Gatavyataha. Prabhupada writes Gatavyataha is significant. In the purport he writes there, Gatavyataha, bracket, without being sorry, is significant here. This word Gatavyataha comes at least 4 times or 5 times in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And if you look at all the times when it comes together, and find the meanings that Prabhupada has given them, and you add them all up, you'll find that the word Gatavyataha here is giving us so much realization. In the 16th chapter, no, in the 12th chapter, 16th verse, 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 6th verse, then Krishna is describing the character of a great devotee. He says very nicely, Anapeksha Suchi Daksha Udasino Gatavyataha Sarvarambha Parityagi Yo Mat Bhakta Same Priyaha. Very important verse. If you look at the word Gatavyataha is there. Now if you read the word to word meaning, Gatavyataha there means freed from all distresses. Same word. Here, without being sorry. There, freed from all distresses. So if you add one and one, you understand that because he was not sorry this happened, he became free from all distress. This is important point. And this is what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Even though he was hurt by Duryodhana, he saw the hurt not as Duryodhana inflicting it on him, but he saw it as the hand of Krishna, the external energy of the Lord. Krishna has two energies. Actually, Krishna has millions of energies, but he has two primary energies. One is the external energy, and one is the internal energy. With the external energy, he controls the material world. The material world is under Durga Mata, but Durga Mata is under Krishna. And Krishna actually controls and sets the laws of this material world. And there are only two laws of this material world that are really important. One, this material world is Dukkhalaya. Whatever you do in this material world, either you become miserable or you become anxious. Some people say, I'm not miserable. Then we say, never mind, but you must be anxious. They say, yes, I'm definitely anxious. So anxiety is the cousin of misery. The second symptom of living in this material world and the external energy of the Lord is that you are always under Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means that which is temporary. So this is very important. Anything in this material world that we think will give us permanence and therefore stability And therefore confidence always has a way of leaving us. Isn't it true? The nature of this world is that it is temporary. Vyasadeva says very nicely, Bhautikanam cha bhavanam. In 1st canto, 4th chapter, 17-18 verse, he says, Bhautikanam cha bhavanam. That means the nature of this world is everything that comes into the world deteriorates. And Prabhu Smati, if you think about it carefully, we ourselves are deteriorating. Every day we are deteriorating. There was a time when I could read all this with my glasses. Now I need the other glasses, you know? Otherwise I can't read. There was a time when I had hair on my head. Now the hair is going. There's a time now, at least now I still have teeth in my mouth. But there will be a time when I will flash my mouth, I will flash a smile and there's no teeth. It will come. There were friends we had when we were very young whom we were sure best friends. And we thought that friendship would never go. But after 1 year, 2 years, when we look back, we think, my God, how that friendship just went. There was a time when we thought that this will be the perfect condition of my life. And after a while, a few years, we think, how foolish I was, thinking that that would be the condition of my life. There was a plan we had once upon a time when we thought we'll all be in a certain country. And ultimately, by the time we are going to die, we find we may be in another country. We have no idea. Sometimes we think, I've become a devotee, I'll be a devotee for life. But only Krishna knows how long we can be even in devotional service. So really, the nature of this world is everything deteriorates. The moment it starts, the hourglass turns and it starts. Time is going. So therefore, the external energy of the Lord is temporary by nature and it is very powerful to cause anxiety. So Vidura understood that Duryodhana's insults were the external energy of the Lord. And because he accepted the external energy of the Lord to be supreme above himself, therefore he became peaceful. Therefore what did he do? He accepted. That's what he did. When you consider the external energy of the Lord to be supreme, it means you accept it. Otherwise you are not accepting it as supreme. Because he accepted the energy of the Lord, which is external, to be supreme, he got automatically transferred from external energy to the shelter of internal energy. This is the beautiful lateral transfer that a devotee automatically gets. When you accept that the laws of material nature are so stringent that you are fully under the control of the Lord, that acceptance will allow you to come under the internal energy of the Lord. And the moment one comes under the internal energy of the Lord, then he is protected. Not protected in terms of body, but protected in terms of consciousness. That's why Vidura was not sorry. So a devotee who is hurt by piercing words of material nature, but if he accepts them as, you know what, this is part of the Lord's doing, then immediately he is protected. If he reacts against the external energy of the Lord, then he continues to remain in the prison of the superintendent, Durga Mata. Then the law of the material nature must apply. But if he accepts, then the laws of the higher force of the internal energy of the Lord will prevail. So even though the devotee appears to be born, deteriorate, and to eventually die, his consciousness is eternally fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the meaning of the difference between external energy and internal energy. And how is this linked to Gata Vyataha is very important. Gata Vyataha means we are not sorry for what happened. When sometimes we get hurt, what happens to us? We start feeling sorry. Sorry for who? Not the person who hurt us. We start feeling very sorry for ourselves. Oh, you poor thing. We pat ourselves, you know. Oh, you are such a great soul. I am faultless, just like Vidura. I am sinless, just like Vidura. You know. But we can't put the bow down like Vidura. At that point, we feel like reacting. So one thing that's very important. When things don't go well for us in material life, please don't feel sorry for yourself. Being sorry for yourself means you get dragged more into material nature. It becomes a symptom of our false ego. Duryodhana actually felt very sorry for himself. That's another symptom of Duryodhana. He always felt victimized. That's why he thought Vidura was victimizing him. He thought the Pandavas were victimizing him. He thought Krishna was victimizing him. Devotees never feel victimized. Devotees know that we are not victims. We asked for it. We came to this material world on our own accord. We desire to be separate from Krishna. Now whose fault is that? It's our fault. So why should we feel sorry for ourselves? Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, tattenu kampam sushamikshamano bunjanam bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ribhava purbir vidadan namaste jive tayo mukti padasedaya. This is the way, this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee, Bhagavatam tells us, he sees the hand of Krishna. He feels that whatever difficulties he is going through is a result of his previous karmic defects. It's my fault, in other words. Duryodhana felt, Vidura, you are at fault, so get out. Vidura thought, wow, this is an amazing behavior from Duryodhana. Krishna, you must have a hand in this. It doesn't matter. I'm hurt. I'm afflicted to the core of my heart. But doesn't matter. I'm not sorry for this. Now I see the hand of Krishna. And therefore, instead of taking it in a negative way, a devotee takes trials and tribulations in a positive way. He sees the good. And that is why a devotee just needs to accept the hand of Krishna as anukampa, the mercy. And instead of wasting time moping around and being sentimental about the fact that I feel very discouraged, because I came to the center and this devotee did not say Hare Krishna to me. I came to the center and someone gave me less prasadam and he gave the other person more prasadam. Or I came to the center and I asked for service and Prabhu said sorry, the service was given. I came to the center and this Mataji said Hare Krishna to all the other Matajis, but she ignored me. In all that time that we spent moping and feeling sorry, we could learn one more shloka from Bhagavatam. And in that way we become fixed with Krishna. We could chant one good round of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And we become free of this also. So being sorry equals to wasting time. In Sastras, it's very nicely stated that two things will leave us when we don't waste time. Sickness leaves us when we don't waste time. Do you know that? When we are sick, the moment we are sick, the tendency is, I need time to be sick. So we lie down. We say, now I need time to be sick, so I don't have time to chant. Because when you have a bad cold, flu, you can't chant very well. So Krishna, I'll apply for leave from bhakti today, so that I can recover my health, and then I will submit my application to come back into bhakti again. And in that way, we become more sick. But those who are sick and they force themselves to chant, bury yourself in Bhagavatam and keep chanting, you find after a while your throat clears, your mucus goes, your fever goes. And if it doesn't go and you die, it's better. Because at least you die reading about Krishna. So either way, you don't lose. But the loss is when we feel sorry for ourselves. Then it is a big loss. And it becomes so bad. And because we feel sorry for ourselves, that's enough. But we drag all our loved ones into this. I feel sorry for myself. So if you don't feel sorry for me, then I feel very bad also. And we drag everybody down. This is not good. A devotee should not cause disturbance to others, isn't it? A devotee never causes disturbance to others. So why are we causing disturbance to others? Duryodhana's behavior was actually a great disservice to all living entities. He caused so much disturbance to so many people. But Vidura's behavior, he caused so much inspiration to so many devotees. Today, millions of years after Vidura walked out of the palace, or thousands of years after he walked out of the palace, we are still inspired by him, isn't it so? We are still inspired by the fact that he put down that bow and he did not feel sorry for himself. This is mark of devotee. So the first thing that Sastra said, when we don't waste time, sickness leaves us. And the second thing that leaves us when we don't waste time is criticism. Those who don't have time, they don't have time to criticize. I remember reading in Prabhupada Lilamrita about that great devotee and stalwart, you know, Jayanand Prabhu. And sometimes there were disagreements in the temple and they would come to him and ask him for his opinion, hoping that he would take one side or the other. And he would just say, well, actually I haven't thought about it because I don't have time. I'm too busy building the rath. for Jagannath Rath Yatra. This is how we should keep ourselves busy. Always be busy. If you are busy as a bee, then you won't be a busybody. If you are busybody, then if other people's business becomes your business, then your business is nobody's business. And our only business is to be Krishna conscious. But because we feel very sorry for ourselves, we have lost that opportunity. So Gata Vyataha, please fill it into our minds today. If we leave the center, we should remember Gata Vyataha means without being sorry. Not being sorry. And the clue to not being sorry is when we are not sorry for ourselves, then in the 12th chapter, 16th verse, Gata Vyataha, those who are not sorry for themselves, they are free from all distresses. See how beautiful it is there. Prabhupada has given a wonderful statement in just the word to word. Now if you look in 3rd canto, 22nd chapter, 24th verse, you look up Gata Vyataha. There again the word Gata Vyataha is used. Swayambhuva Manu became Gata Vyataha when he got his daughter married off to Kaduma Muni. Who was his daughter? Devahuti. Because as a father, you know, he was thinking when to get my daughter married, when to get my daughter married. So he was worried, he wanted a good, good devotee for his daughter. When he found Swayambhuva Manu, then he had to talk to him, he had to convince him. So he was anxious. But the moment Kaduma Muni agreed to marry his daughter, he felt Gata Vyataha. And there Prabhupada writes the word to word meaning is relieved of his responsibility. So, Gata Vyataha means not being sorry. How to become not sorry? When you are relieved of responsibilities, and in this case, Vidura's responsibility in the palace was relieved. By who? Duryodhan. Duryodhan did him a favor. Hey, I'm terminating your services, get out. So, now Vidura thought, that's it, I'm done. What else should I do? Spend more time in yatras. Now I go to Mayapur, I go to Vrindavan. In those days, you know, didn't have life membership, I think. But even then, he was traveling. And even then, he was going everywhere. He didn't have a guest house to stay. He probably stayed under a tree. But believe me, he was just as happy. He didn't have hot water. He didn't need AC. But he was happy. Because he was not sorry for himself. Sometimes devotees come back from Dham and say, I say, Prabhu, how was the trip there? Prabhu, water was not hot enough. Prabhu, AC was not working. Are we going to Dham for the AC and the water? Or are we going to Dham to remember Krishna? Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj brought this up to me. When I was in Mayapur with him, I asked him, Maharaj, what is the secret of yatra? He said, forget about AC and forget about hot and cold water. I said, why, Maharaj? He said, because then you won't feel sorry for yourself. And years later, I remembered this when I was reading this verse. Because the moment we start thinking of ourselves, then all these things matter. But when we think of our soul, then the bodily demands are not important. Vidura was thinking of his own devotional service, not whether he could be comfortable. If he wanted to be comfortable, stay on in the palace. Right? There would have been AC in the palace, I'm sure. There would have been nice cushions in the palace. There would have been a heater in the palace. He would have been very happy. But what for? He would have forgotten Krishna. So this is important. When we are prepared not to feel sorry for ourselves, we become relieved of responsibilities which are material, we become freed of all distresses. And then, you can see Gata Vyataha in the 4th canto, 4th chapter, 4th verse, 444. And when you see Gata Vyataha there, Prabhupada gives another symptom of one who is not sorry. Without fear. Very nice. Relieved of responsibilities, without any distress, and now, if you're not sorry for yourself and you accept the hand of Krishna, you become freed of fear. You become freed of fear. And this is in relation to Sati. When the Ganas of Lord Shiva saw Sati going very quickly to see her father, they also followed her. Why? Because they felt that she was such a strong personality, they followed her without fear. Gata Vyataha. So when one is not sorry for oneself, then we become fearless. We become courageous. We become determined to perform devotional service. And the last definition of Gata Vyataha is actually spoken of all people by Hiranyaksha himself. It is, I think, in the 7th canto, 2nd verse, 7th or 8th chapter, 2nd chapter, 7th or 8th verse. There Hiranyakashipu is talking about Hiranyaksha. But this is in a subset of a conversation of Narada Muni with Yudhishthira. And there, Narada Muni describes how Hiranyaksha was thinking. Hiranyaksha was thinking that Hiranyakashipu was thinking that I will slay Krishna and I will please my brother Hiranyaksha. I will drink the blood of Krishna. And in that way, I will satisfy my brother Hiranyaksha, because my brother Hiranyaksha liked to suck blood from the living entities. So there, the word Gata Vyataha is there. And at the end of it, you find Gata Vyataha, Prabhupada translates it as becoming peaceful myself. Very nice. So now you add all the different meanings that Prabhupada has given. And now we really understand the full import of without being sorry. When one accepts the hand of Krishna, the trials and tribulations, he comes under the internal energy of the Lord. When the Lord gives him divine protection without reservation, then what happens to the devotee? Because he's not sorry, he becomes freed of all distresses. Because he's freed of all distresses, he becomes peaceful. Because he's peaceful, he's without fear. And because he's fearless, he is relieved of all material responsibilities. And this is the exact position of Vidura. And that is why Vidura put down everything and he walked away. So a devotee turns anything that looks unfavorable into something which becomes favorable. And because he saw the hand of Krishna, he became very peaceful. Krishna's external energy, we cannot fight. We should be clear about it. Krishna's external energy is so powerful that until and unless we are under the shelter of devotional service, the external energy of Krishna, we cannot escape. We cannot. And once we understand external energy of Krishna is beyond us, then we also understand that we are fully under the control of the Lord. Prakate Kriyamana. That is why Prabhupada quotes this verse, Gunai Karmani Sarva Sasha. He says that, factually speaking, all of us think that we are free. But we don't realize that we are so controlled by the laws of the world. Sometimes people think, does it mean I don't have independence? No, you have independence. But even your independence is subject to laws. That is the point we must understand. Just like if you have a very strict government in a country, yes, you have the freedom to walk where you want. But if the laws of the country tells you can walk here and you can't walk there, you have the freedom to take out, but subject to the laws. That is the meaning of 327. Very often we think 327 means I'm chained, I can't walk anywhere. No, you're free to walk. But wherever you walk, be ready for the consequences of your walking. That is the meaning of the external energy and the stringent laws of material energy. So when a devotee accepts that he is not under control, then mayai vaite nihata purvam evam nimitta matra bhavya sabhya sachi. Then 11:33 of Bhagavad Gita becomes very important for the devotee, because then the devotee becomes peaceful. He knows that by Krishna's arrangement everything is being arranged. Therefore the devotee doesn't have to lament. If anything doesn't go the way he wants to, then there's no reason to lament. It is because of his own previous karmic reactions. That's how a devotee thinks. A devotee thinks, I am at fault. My past karmas are so powerful, they are coming even now. And I have to pay for them. So instead of moping around and being sentimental about it, he starts chanting more, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He does not waste time. And because he's not wasting time, he's engaged in devotional service. And because he's engaged in devotional service, unknown to the devotee, he's no more under the stringent laws of material nature. He comes under the loving laws of the internal energy of the Lord. And internal energy of the Lord means the devotee starts having a taste for Krishna consciousness. He starts relishing devotional activities. Nobody has put a gun to any of your heads to come here today. You all came because of your own relationship with the Supreme Lord and your spiritual masters and the Vaishnavas. You have come because you are attracted to Bhagavatam. This attraction is the internal energy of the Lord. Otherwise, he'd be outside the center and walking around aimlessly in Serangoon Road for the whole of Sunday morning. Which energy is operating? External energy is operating. When you walk into Mustafa, which energy is operating? External energy is operating. But if you buy something for the Lord from Mustafa and you use it in the Lord's service, that external energy is converted immediately into internal energy. Then that action of buying may appear material, but the utilization of that which is material has converted it into spiritual. This is the beauty. Right now, right here in this material world, the internal energy of the Lord is operating. And it is operating every time we are in touch, Brahma Sparshanam, with devotional service. That is why Vidura could walk out of the palace of Duryodhana without feeling anything, because he was fixed in his devotional service. He was fixed in his one-pointed attention to Krishna. And because he was always chanting the glories of Krishna, because he was always hearing about Krishna, because he was always taking association of Krishna and the Pandavas, he was free of the miserable conditions. When Krishna came all the way to speak to the Kauravas in Hastinapur to tell them, please change your mind, no more war, don't have war, Duryodhan prepared a wonderful banquet, prepared so many dishes for him. But I don't think Duryodhan offered anything, you know. I think all the food that was cooked was not offered to Krishna because he didn't believe in Krishna anyway. So when he invited Krishna and said, come and have some food, you know, Krishna declined. He said, I prepare a beautiful palace room for you, come. Duryodhan was very expert in the art of taking care of everyone. You remember Bhakti Vikash Maharaj a few weeks ago brought up a very important point. He said Duryodhan had all the qualities of a great administrator except one. He was not devotee. He had fully materially qualified, but because he was not devotee, it was zero. So he received Krishna with great etiquette, but Krishna was not impressed. Krishna said, no, actually I made alternative accommodation. So Duryodhan said, why do you want to stay in guest house? You can stay with me. Palace is here. Food is here. And he said, no, I'm staying in the Dasi Putra's house. And Krishna uses the word Dasi Putra to actually insult Duryodhan. Because he's saying, if I can stay with Dasi Putra, then what makes you there? What are you there? If I'm staying with Dasi Putra, you must be lower than Dasi Putra, isn't it? Because I'm the Supreme Personality of God. So he goes to Vidura's house and he stays there. And Vidura's wife was there. Vidura was not there. He was busy, you know. So Vidura's wife became so happy to see Krishna that she didn't know what to do, because you know it was unexpected. So she got some banana in the kitchen, and in an ecstasy she peeled the banana and gave the banana peel to Krishna, and she threw away the banana fruit because you know she was nervous. I'm sure if Krishna came to your house, you'll also be upside down. You know, you don't know what to do. When our spiritual masters come, we don't know what to do sometimes, right? They always have a way of making us feel very awkward. We think we are very much alright until we meet all these exalted devotees. Then we realize we are really nothing. In the same way, she felt that way. So she gave her the banana, she gave him the banana peel, and she threw away the banana. So Vidura comes in and says, oh, Krishna is here. So we should now just prepare everything. And he says, what is Krishna doing? Krishna was vanishing, he was eating the banana peel. And he asks Krishna, who gave you the banana peel? He says, your wife. Your good wife gave me the banana peel. And Vidura looked at his wife and said, have you gone mad? Krishna came. You're supposed to give him the fruit. And she thought, in all this, you know, I completely forgot him. I didn't know what I was doing. But Krishna said, no, today I relish this. This is better than the fruit. This is Krishna. Was Krishna feeling sorry for himself? I left the palace of Duryodhana with ACE and hot water and heater, and now I'm coming to eat what? Banana peel. He didn't feel sorry for himself, because Krishna is also Gata Vyataha. Whatever a pure devotee exhibits, that quality is Krishna's, because it's coming from Krishna. Krishna never feels sorry for himself, because he is Paripurnakamam. He is fully satisfied. So the real secret in not being sorry for ourselves is to be satisfied in any condition we are placed in this material. That's the end of the end of the end. If Vidura was beaten, he was satisfied. If he was scolded, he was satisfied. And how to become satisfied? Very simple. Every time you feel dissatisfied, you please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama. And if you feel, so I'm still feeling dissatisfied. Very good. Then you please chant the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And if after 16 rounds of chanting, I still feel dissatisfied. Very good. Now you chant your 17th round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You find every time you chant, you become satisfied. Every time you stop, you become dissatisfied. So the trick is, keep chanting. Those who are continuously chanting Krishna's names, continuously hearing about Krishna, continuously chanting shlokas of Krishna, while we are brushing our teeth, we can chant 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? We can chant 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's very easy. I remember my Guru Maharaj, when he used to wake up at 1:32 in the morning and he would start brushing his teeth. And by the time he finished brushing his teeth, 3-4 chapters of Bhagavad Gita was finished. By the time he finished bathing, next 5 chapters of Bhagavad Gita were finished. By the time he sat down to do his chanting, another 3-4 chapters of Bhagavad Gita were finished. So by the time he chanted, nearly half of Bhagavad Gita he had chanted. And because he was chanting and he was also doing all the other material services, the external energy of the Lord was not touching us. This is how we should live. We have our children, we have our families, we have our jobs. But in between, what stops us from chanting? Nothing stops us from chanting. Not the stringent laws of the material nature. No. It's our imposed laws. I don't feel like chanting now. Why? Because my appointment to chant ended already. Now why should I chant extra rounds? That's what we feel. So, gata vyataha, without being sorry. Without being sorry means no lamenting. Devotees never lament. It is not in our vocabulary. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that Dhritarashtra had left the palace, when he woke up in the morning, he saw, hey, where's my uncle and where's my auntie? He started lamenting. And he turned and turned and he thought, this must be my fault. A devotee's mood, you know, is that he always blames himself. He never blames other people. Always looks to himself. So he thought, it's me. At that point, Narada Muni comes into the palace. And he says, my dear Narada, have you seen my uncle? Have you seen my auntie? Where are they? And Narada says very nicely, Ma Kanchana Sucho Rajan, Yat Ishvara Vasham Jagat, Lokaha Sapala Yasyede, Vihanti, no, Vahanti Balim, Ishituhu, Sa Samyunakti Bhutani, Sa Eva Viyunakti Cha. Samyunakti Viyunakti. Samyunakti means to come together, Viyunakti means to separate. So, Narada's instruction is something we should take back today. Because Vidura acted on this instruction. Narada told Yudhishthira, O pious king, do not lament for anyone. Don't lament. For everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Yad Ishvara Vasham Jagat. Jagat means this universe. Ishvara means Krishna. And Vasam means control. Everyone is under the control of Krishna. So no need to lament. Therefore, all living beings and their leaders, they must offer their worship to Him. That's why we do devotional service. Because we know that Krishna is supreme. Aham sarvasya prabhu. We want to glorify Krishna. Therefore, we want love of Godhead. That is our aim. Not merely to stop the problems of life. That is material. Not merely to control our senses. That is material. But the real aim of bhakti is love of God. So that we are given the adhikar to glorify Krishna. And then he says nicely, therefore, it is he only who brings them together, and it is he only who disperses them. This is the mood of the devotee. So we should do one thing. Always chant Krishna's names, always read about Krishna, and then we will achieve cessation of unlimited miseries. That's what we have. Ashesha Sanklesha,
Ashesha Sanklesha,
Samam Vidatte,
Samam Vidatte,
Ashesha Sanklesha,
Ashesha Sanklesha,
Samam Vidatte,
Samam Vidatte,
Gunanumada,
Gunanumada,
Shravanam Murare,
Shravanam Murare,
Kimma Punasta,
Kimma Punasta,
Charana
Ravindam. Charanaravindam
Paraga Seva
Paraga Seva
Pratiratma Labdha
Gatiradmalabdha
Ashesha Sanklesha
Ashesha Sanklesha
Samam
Vidatte
Gunanumada
Gunanumada
Shravanam Murare
Shravanam Murare
Himva Punasta
Himva Punasta
Charanaravindam
Charanaravindam
Paraga Seva
Paraga Seva
Pratiradmalabdha
Pratiradmalabdha.
Simply by chanting and hearing the transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage and paraphernalia of the Lord, one can achieve cessation of unlimited material conditions. What to speak of those who have gained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the lotus feet? This is the mood of India. So the next time tomorrow something awkward happens to us, the next time day after something calamitous happens to us, the next time something we expect didn't happen, even in devotional service, remember Vidura. Put down the bow and arrow and walk. Vidura did that because of his bhakti. Because of his great devotional service, automatically he could get the element of renunciation. By putting the bow down and walking, he was renounced. Because he was not expecting anything. We should not expect anything from Krishna, but we should accept whatever Krishna gives. Those who expect from Krishna, they are always in difficulty. They are always disturbed. You'll find the struggling devotees are disturbed because always we have expectations. We come to center, there's an expectation. Prasadam must be like that. This must be like that. That must be like that. If it's not, I'm disappointed. Haribo. But those who accept, you find their mood is very different. Whatever comes, they remember Krishna. Because they know that everything that's coming is from Krishna. Sometimes Jagannath has his own way of doing things. We plan so many things, Jagannath plans other things. You all have been for Ratiyatra Singh Puri. You know how Jagannath never comes punctually. You know how the Lord decides on his whole time to come when he wants to. I remember long time ago we had Ratiyatra at Vishnu Dairy Farm. You remember we used to have it at the farm? One year we had Bhojadev Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, as our guest of honor. So we were waiting, and the day before we had measured very nicely, you know, the space for Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, the deities, smaller deities. I think they were Bharat Prabhu's deities. So we measured. So we knew they would go in very nicely and the rug can move. On the day we brought the deities in the morning, Jagannath went in very nicely, Subhadra went in very nicely, Baladev went in and he was too plump. Overnight, I don't know whether it was prasadam or he was happy, he just became much more heavier, wider in the girth of his waist. So Bharat Prabhu tried and tried putting him in. I remember Srinivasa Prabhu and I were behind the curtain. Kirtan going on and on and on. And behind, they're putting, they're squeezing Baladev. He refused to go in. Then immediately, Bharat Prabhu thought, now we have to drill, we have to chop the space, open the space. And then, as Kirtan was going on, you know, Bharat Prabhu started banging and drilling. So Bhojadev Prabhu turned to me and said, are you building the rat now? He said, Prabhu, I just want to know something. Are you building the rat? I said, no, why? I said, I hear some building going on. I said, no, Baladev just doesn't want to go in. And after moving all that, finally he settled it. Now, if we were disturbed by that, we would not be able to relish that the Lord is the master of the three worlds. But if we accepted that Lord wants us to do some more service, because you think, you're planning very nicely, you think the measurement is correct. You know, I have my own measurement. Then it becomes relishable. Oh, Krishna, this is so pleasing. At the last minute, you're just smashing my ego, thinking that I made it all planned, and now it should go according to your plan. If a devotee can have this mood from the start of his devotional life to the end of his devotional life, then he will become very peaceful. But you can only sustain this mood if you have association of devotees. It is much easier to sustain the mood of Vidura by having the association of devotees with Vidura. Vidura's association gave Dhritarashtra freedom. And association of devotees like Vidura will give us freedom from anxiety also. So the ending, I want to end by remembering something very ironic. In this chapter, Vidura is thrown out by Duryodhana, by his own force, by his own conviction. But ironically, finally when the Mahabharata war settles down and the dust has settled and everything has ended, Duryodhana will never walk into the palace again. Because by then his life would have ended. And after Mahabharata war, who walks into that same palace again? It's Vidura who walks back. The man who was thrown out as a kept son of a kept mistress comes back because he renounced it in the first place. And because he renounced it in the first place, it was for Krishna to decide that one day it is poetic justice that Vidura, the one who was thrown out, should come back and instruct Dhritarashtra to leave the palace. Dhritarashtra is also thrown out by Vidura, but by the force of his instructions. But Duryodhana is thrown out of the palace by the force of the stringent laws of the external energy of the Supreme. Because Duryodhana never considered Krishna's energy and Krishna to be Supreme. And that was his fatal mistake. And that was the one realization that saved Vidura, even though he was insulted, disturbed, cheated, cursed, neglected, and almost killed. Jai Ghanatana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Jai Shri Gurudev Ki
Jai
Jai Gaura Premanand
Ki
Jai Shri Prabhupada Shri Gurudev Ki. Are there any questions? Any realizations? Yes, Prabhu. You mean you will also be soft?
Yeah, no, I will be soft.
Oh, you'll not be soft?
Yeah, this is my nature, like, you know, how to improve that.
Oh, you mean if someone is soft with you, you are not soft with
them? Yeah, okay. If someone is soft, I am soft.
Oh, when someone's soft, you are soft. Someone is hard, you are hard.
Yeah, okay. Like when he is giving some sattva,
yes.
I'm not able to keep myself in control, and I also get the hard
word. Right.
So, how to control that?
You have to control it. Supposing someone were to pay you to control it, I think you'll control it better. You know why, Guruji? The reason is, this is a fact that happens to all of us. You are courageous enough to speak it, but actually you're speaking on behalf of all of us. The reason why we often react in a harsh manner to harsh words is because of our own false ego. It's pinched, you see. We feel genuinely in our heart, we don't feel that we deserve the harsh words. Because we have a very high self-esteem of ourselves, nothing wrong with that. But it leads to some subtle pride. But if we feel that, well, the harsh words are coming, maybe Krishna is speaking through the devotee, we should accept it. Or we should try to explain ourselves in as humble a manner as possible. Or if we cannot control ourselves, then go and find some senior Vaishnava and reveal our heart to them. But at the point when we are spoken of in harsh terms, it's very important for us to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In material world, they give you this psychology. If you're angry, take a deep breath 3 times. You know, you go for these anger management seminars. They tell you that, right? But the only thing that happens very often is you have enough and more breath to shout back. But rather for devotees, what's easier is if someone is becoming very harsh, you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And try to understand why the devotee is being harsh with you. That is important. You know, sometimes we want to be heard, but we don't want to hear. That is the other defect. So when we hear something which appears to be unpalatable, we want others to hear what we think of it. But it never crosses us that perhaps someone is speaking about this because there is some defect in us. So what you brought up is very important. As devotees, constantly we have to do parikshit, self-assessment. When someone is harsh with us, the reaction automatically is for us to become harsh. But if we are doing nice devotional service, Krishna will help us to control our senses as Rishikesha, and we'll try to understand. Prabhu, Mataji, I'm sorry, you know, you are harsh with me, but can I understand why? That's all right. You're being frank. That's okay. But if we react in a very emotional manner, then what happens is we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Because we feel, I've become victimized. Actually, no one is a victim. We're all victims of material energy. But other than that, you know, we are not victims. I hope that is useful to you. Once we have pride, then we become envious. And once envious, it will come out as anger. P-E-A, very easy to remember. So when you're angry, it's because you're actually subtly envious of someone or something. And the envy is coming largely because you're proud that you have achieved something. And when someone else achieves something in the same area, you're not very happy for that person. And then you become angry. You find some reason. Duryodhana found a reason to throw him out. Because he was proud of who he was, and yet he was envious of Vidura. So he became angry with him. I hope that's useful. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
So right now, having that desire, so whether it is karma or like used to.
Very good question. The golden rule is this: if you embark on the path of fulfilling that desire, will your emotional service suffer? Yes or no? If it suffers, that desire we don't want. If it improves your emotional service, that desire we want very much. Very straightforward. And in that golden rule, we can live our lives very simply. And that golden rule will break up into needs and wants. Wants will be those things that don't help our devotional service. And needs will be those things which we have to go on, but we do it as a matter of devotion and duty. So that way, Prabhu, you find that our life becomes very simple. And wherever we are in the world also, we are also simple. It doesn't change our consciousness. So if it helps us in Krishna consciousness and favorable, you please take it. But if you know in your heart of hearts that it's going to be a source of great distraction and disturbance, then reject it. The rejection is on the grounds of renunciation. The acceptance is also on the grounds of transcendental knowledge. But they both come because Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Right? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam, then Jnana Chayat Ahaitukam. This is the point that was practiced by Vidura. Because Vidura was Vasudeva Bhagavati. He was always performing devotional service to Vasudeva. Therefore, two things automatically came to him. Transcendental knowledge to discriminate between what must be done and what must not be done. And the renunciation that comes with the knowledge, the strength to give up things which appear very wonderful, but which ultimately do not really help us. Is that okay for you? Any other questions? Yes, if I can do it. Thank you.
So, actually, I was contemplating on this verse that you recited. The devotees, even though they are, you know, neglected, insulted, or you know, even to the point they are killed. So, this instruction of the Lord does it needs to be followed individually?
In what? Sorry.
Does it needs to be practiced individually or collectively?
Both. Very nice point. It has to be practiced on both levels. But it will be practiced collectively well if every individual has the responsibility to carry out his part of the deal. In a congregation, for example, if every individual devotee is serious about following this instruction of the Lord, then the collective consciousness of the congregation will become a generally more tolerant congregation, a generally more forbearing congregation, a generally more positive congregation, and a generally more serving-oriented congregation. But if the individuals don't take the individual responsibility to practice tolerance and forbearance the way our Vaishnava Acharyas have told us, then it will lead to disunity, it will lead to divisions. Instead of celebrating our differences in diversity, we will not be united because we will be less tolerant of each other. And criticisms will come, comparisons will be drawn. Eventually, from criticisms, offenses will come, and the congregation will deteriorate. So you're right. Collective consciousness is very important, but the base of any collective consciousness is the effort of an individual. Is that helpful?
Yeah. So, same question.
Yes. Okay. You can understand from Bhagavatam that obviously that particular congregation is not up to the mark, so to speak, as far as this area of spiritual life is concerned. Then we have two ways to go about doing that. One, by recognizing it, we can either continue with our strength and conviction, and by our own strength and conviction and purity being the boss, it's possible to change consciousness within a congregation just by a few devotees' sincere attempts. The Pandavas were only 5, but they could conquer the entire world. The Kauravas were 100, but they could not conquer their senses. So in that way, Prabhupada always advised us that even in a congregation which is difficult, or in a congregation where we find that we are not fitting, Prabhupada's advice to such devotees were always, please concentrate on your devotional service. Try to see the devotees in a favorable light to the best that you can. And by continually serving them with loving devotion, hearts will melt. And devotees are not bad in themselves. Sometimes the training may be wrong. Sometimes they mean well, but they may come out wrong. But it depends on the forbearance of that devotee who sees these things, the broad-heartedness of that devotee, to accept that, to be forgiving of that, and to continue serving them. Because after all, they are still devotees. As long as, you know, they're not very offensive and they're not disturbing you, we can continue to serve them. And if Krishna wants and Prabhupada wants, many things can change. But we should have faith that just by the process of devotional service, many things can change. Is that all right, Prabhupada? So it is the strength of conviction, really. If your conviction is low, then you will find that it's very difficult. But if your conviction is strong that the process is good, we just have to keep at it, keep chipping at it. Then you find in time things change. Great leaders in our spiritual world are made of that. They came into congregations which were upside down, but they turned it around with the force of their own faith and conviction in Krishna. It is possible. I've seen many such leaders in our movement, and they continue to inspire devotees that way. And sometimes Prabhu is also our lenses. Sometimes it's our lenses also. Because sometimes we may see certain things, but, well, we are also materially situated. Whatever we see may not be totally perfect. It's good also for us to understand the 4 defects that apply to others equally apply to us. So just like we see defects in others, it could also be that there is so much defects in us. When that happens, a devotee becomes humbler, and Krishna gives him proper wisdom to deal with devotees. Is that all right, Prabhu? Yes. Prabhu. Kulshekhar Prabhu first. Sorry, Prabhu. Kulshekhar Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. that like I did to Visura as did, Chitrakatu also did the same thing when Parvati Ma gave him class.
Yes.
This is number one. Number two is even Chitrakatu in very unfavorable condition, Pratikul Avastha.
Yeah.
In the war, he could remember God.
Yes.
So that way we should always think that unfavorable is because Srivas Kapoor also did the same thing when his son died.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes. I think what your point is very important. It also links up to what we have been discussing today. That very often we will have to perform devotional service in unfavorable conditions. That's a fact. It's a fact. We will never find the perfect congregation. We will never find the perfect devotee. Because not because there are no perfect devotees, no perfect congregation, but very often we don't see them. We don't have the eyes to see them. And sometimes Krishna puts us in unfavorable situations because that's the only way we can remember him better. Vritasura was in difficulty, so he remembered Krishna. Gajendra was in so much difficulty, so he had to remember Krishna. Sudama was forced by his wife on account of poverty to travel, but he relished it. So in that way, every devotee in Bhagavatam never had a good time. They basically were struggling, but they were enjoying themselves. So that's a good point. Anyway, what do we lose? If we don't have Krishna, we'll have to just struggle with Maya. Better struggle for Krishna and end this life than to struggle for Maya and continue with the next life. Thank you, Guru. Devshekhar Prabhu, one last question. Yes. Yes.
So if we flip the other side, many times it happens is there are times when you are appreciated for the things which you have not done.
Okay.
Lofty appreciation kind of thing.
Yes.
So
what again?
Lofty appreciation.
Okay, lofty appreciation. I'd like to have yes.
So how to discriminate between a lofty appreciation and a genuine appreciation? Because what happens is many a times you feel talked up for the things you have not done. And sometimes for me especially happens is somebody appreciates me and then somebody tells me, oh, don't think that is an appreciation, that is a sarcasm. So how to differentiate between that?
Actually, Prabhu, this becomes very complicated. You know, we should not complicate our lives. The best way forward is, if someone says, Prabhu, you've done very nicely, we should just have the mood that maybe I did something nice, but it cannot happen without the grace of spiritual master. Someone comes and tells us, Prabhu, you've done wonderful, wonderful, and you know I haven't done anything much. Then you say, Prabhu, yeah, maybe you have seen something nice, but again, it is the spiritual master. If we start thinking this one is genuinely appreciating me, that one is genuinely not appreciating me, you know what happens to us? We start criticizing devotees. In the mood of discrimination, it's very difficult and dangerous. We start thinking, Prabhu, you're being sincere. That's a very dangerous thing for us to start thinking of devotees. Some devotees just have the tendency to be more generous with words. Some devotees appreciate you, but they can only say it in two words, thank you, Prabhu, or three, that's three, okay. But apart from that, for a devotee, for whoever's coming to say anything, whether they criticize us, whether they praise us, we serve them. The appreciation only becomes important to us if we value the appreciation. In other words, if we become attached to it. If we're not attached to it, whether it came from someone with a different motive or it came from someone with a good motive, it doesn't affect us because we know how much we are struggling for it. We just know that whatever a devotee may be, he's done a lot of service. So I will just continue to serve. That's all. So this is the best way to not complicate matters. There are very senior Vaishnavas who are at a point where they have to instruct devotees. They have to correct them. They are in a position of spiritual masters. Or maybe senior Vaishnavas. They may be in a position to say, Prabhu, I heard you saying these things, but frankly speaking, you know, I feel that it may not be coming from your heart because you and I have differences, for example. And suddenly you're being nice to me. Well, he may have a reason because he has the adhikar, perhaps, Prabhu, to speak to that devotee. But we may not. We don't know a devotee from a bar of soap. So what are we going to say about that devotee? So in other words, refrain from judging the devotees. It is not our business to judge a devotee. Our business is to serve a devotee. Let Krishna be the judge of who is speaking sincerely to you and who is not. Let us put the bow down at the point when someone appreciates us, and we walk away even as they appreciate us in our hearts. When we walk away from the appreciation, we are free from it. We don't get touched by it. Then whatever other people may say, let it be. You just be simple. You serve the devotees. That's enough. Is that all right? Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Shri Gurudev ki.
Jai.
Anant Guru Vaishnavinda ki.
Jai.
Jai.
Hari Hari Bol.
So Prabhu Mataji, Srila Prabhupada's appearance is coming on the 5th, on the 6th. And I think I've sent out some emails to devotees to please start writing your Vyas Puja offerings. Now some of you may not be on the email, so I'm making the announcement. Every one of us has the right to write something glorious in appreciation of Sri Prabhupada. So if you feel like writing something and you're interested to do that, you can approach myself, Vinvasa Prabhu, you know, or any one of the senior devotees who are here, and they will direct you to how you can write a Vyas Puja. We feel that actually this year Prabhupada is so kind, he has come in Murti form. And this is the 50th anniversary of his arrival in US. So it's a very momentous occasion. Next year is the 50th anniversary of his formation of ISKCON. So knowing that, we are just trying to write down our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. So if you write it, you find that exercise of writing is very relishable. It is very humbling also to realize how much Prabhupada achieved and how much indebted we are to him. Gratitude is the most important quality in a Vaishnava. Once we have gratitude, we are grateful for any devotee, for anyone. If we always say thank you, thank you, thank you, then we don't see bad. Because everything becomes the hand of Krishna. What more, and how much more should we be grateful to Prabhupada, who gave his whole life so that many of us years later can continue.